This morning, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John in chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. Now, this is a longer passage of scripture here than I would normally pick, but to kind of grasp all that's taking place in the story, it's helpful to have a little more context, the core of the scripture that we're working with. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 1 of chapter 4 out of John's gospel. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as those to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about things that we are not proud of, an emotion that comes quickly behind that is shame. And shame is a difficult thing to discuss, a difficult thing to share or even think about, because for us it is so personal. It reflects on things that we have done or not done. It reflects on our relationships, on our connections, and it stirs up too often a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty, a lot of hardship within us. But when I look at this story here of this woman, the Samaritan woman by the well, that Jesus is there, he's in Samaria, and I think about shame, the things perhaps that we've done or not done, the things that keep us separated from one and another, the things that separate us from our God, I see an abundant grace coming through Christ, an abundant grace that is forgiving, that is renewing. And it calls to a new life, a new relationship that is almost, you know, regardless of whatever may have happened in the past. Shame is something that when we dig deep and look at that, it truly is painful. Maybe not so much, you know, from us internally, but it also can come from the outside, from, you know, other people. Kind of, it's something that can kind of feel like it's been pushed upon us. But when we think about, you know, the grace that we have from God, that grace that restores us and renews us, it is greater than that shame. But that shame, though, it does something to us as well, because it can kind of create, you know, a barrier in our faith lives, in our spiritual lives, when we are trying to connect with our God. Because there's things that people know that we have done, or perhaps things, you know, others think they think that we have done, perhaps, and it produces some kind of, you know, community shame or something like that. But there's also that knowledge that we have. There are things that we all have done that we are not proud of. And because we are human beings who struggle, who experience, you know, brokenness and sin, we begin to think that that sin or that brokenness, you know, is greater than that grace from our God, is greater than us being connected with the one who calls us to life. But we are reminded through the gospel story, we are reminded through the life of Christ, that those things, yes, God sees them, he knows they're there, but it doesn't get in the way of our new life because that grace from God. When I work with people who are struggling with addiction, one of the things they name is that shame of the addiction, that shame of the stigma perhaps that goes with it, or they're trying to perhaps cover some shame because of something that happened in their life or something they are not proud of. And so it brings about that, you know, that drive to cover it, to self-medicate for that. And I believe as a people of faith that we are called to share and to remind those who are struggling, you know, in addiction, who are struggling in situations like that, that God's love is abundant for them, that God's love is great for them. And it also can apply in so many other things as well. You can name the situation, and for some reason that shame creeps in. But it's God's grace that is there. God's grace that is greater than our brokenness. God's grace is greater than that shame. This story here, this is actually one of my favorite stories in the Gospel of John, because of how Christ so breaks down barriers. He's actually going through, you know, this place, you know, Samaria, and a little bit of history on the Samaritans. They were, you know, people who were kind of the cousins of Jews in a way, kind of religiously and ethnically cousins of the Jews. You know, they held on to the Ten Commandments, but from there on, there were differences in their faith. And it reached a point here that, you know, Jews and Samaritans just did not associate with one another. They kept themselves separate, away, apart from each other. And so you have Jesus, you know, who is, you know, a Jewish man, you know, here in this place in Samaria, talking to a woman who is Samaritan. I mean, there's about three or four cultural, you know, taboos that Christ is breaking right here. And it also reminds me in how Christ is breaking these cultural taboos. There's so many times that we place taboos on ourselves, or perhaps our society places taboos on people, and we forget that God's grace is greater than those taboos, greater than the things that others might say, or greater than things in our culture that are not right. Because Christ here is breaking down and sharing God's love with someone who would be seen as unlovable, someone who would be seen as unrighteous. But God is still calling to life, calling to a new beginning, and is still present. This is a God, I believe, who is with us when we share Holy Communion. This is a God who calls us to new life. This is the God and the Savior who calls us to a new beginning, who is aware of our pain, aware of our struggles, but yet loves us anyway. We forget this as human beings, as followers of Christ. We forget that abundant, freely given, generous grace and new beginning. I am a human being just like everyone in this room is. And I know there are things that I have done, things I am not proud of, things I would say I've experienced and still experience some shame with. Especially as a person, I am a self-described overthinker. I make a decision, I act on that decision, but I still think back of, I probably should have done that differently. And that's a cycle that I know for myself I can get into, and it becomes a feedback loop for shame, especially when something I've done wrong gets into that feedback loop. And I have to constantly remind myself that God is greater than that feedback loop, that God's love and new beginning for us is greater than that feedback loop. So for us, brothers and sisters, as we go through life, as we experience a new beginning, as we move forward, yes, there are things that we regret. There are things we wish we could have done differently. But we have to be reminded that God calls us to new beginning, calls us to life. God is willing to go through all those taboos, willing to go through all these things so we can be reminded of that grace and called to new life and a new beginning. So let us go from this place, go from this day as we have celebrated the bread and the cup and that grace. But let us go forward as a people of God, knowing that new beginning, that abundant grace, that God is greater than our sin, than our brokenness, greater than our shame, greater than our regrets, and is more abundant in life than we can imagine now. Amen.